Well, good morning, Bridge Point. Good to see you guys. How are you? It's good to see you. I want to welcome our campuses downtown, Seminole, Clearwater. It is great to be back with you guys. I've been away for a little while, and it's just good to be home, right? Aren't you excited to be here? I hope you've connected to somebody around you, wherever you are today, however you're watching us, and just really excited about being able to wrap up this series. But before we jump in, I want you to do me a favor again. I spoke a few weeks ago to you. Our team has done such a great job in my absence. Would you tell them on all of our campuses how thankful you are for them? Really appreciate that. Really have done a great job. One of the keys to my job as the lead of an organization like this is to give my job away, right? And so when you're able to step away for a little while and know that things are going to continue, that's a good place to be. And so, but this is an even better place to be back with you today. And we've been in this series called Half Full, and I want to kind of wrap it up today, kind of bring it to a conclusion. I hope you'll lean in to what we've not only talked about in the past, but what I'm going to share today. And I want you to find yourself in today's message. Find yourself here, okay? That's your goal. That's your work that you're going to do. Find yourself in what we're talking about. And we've been talking about this pretty important point, this big idea. A half-empty perspective won't produce a full faith, right? We have this new creature in our family. Her name is Rooney, and she's my daughter's little girl, my first granddaughter. And I'm going to sneak her on stage, not today, but one of these days. She's still in that kind of getting out stage, and so one of these days I'll sneak her out here. But I love Rooney when she's finished eating. She just has this. We call it the she's the milk drunk baby at that point. You know what I'm talking about? She lays back with her little belly full, right? And she is just satisfied. Wouldn't you like to be like that? Wouldn't you like to just be satisfied, full? See, what God wants for us is a full faith, fully understanding. But the problem is that we sacrifice that. And we were asked this big question. How often, and think about yourself, find yourself in this, how often do we forfeit God's blessings because we view things from a half-empty perspective? We view things in ways that God would not even want us to consider, but we find ourselves getting lost in what we don't have. I'll come back to that in a few minutes because I think it's important for you to lock into that idea. Now, I want to share an important verse for you today that kind of we will anchor into and then we'll expand out of. It's found in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16. It says this, "The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them." Perspective. See, our problem is we look at our lives and we see ourselves either as half empty or half filled, view on how we decide to see ourselves. But the thing that you need to grab a hold of, anchor into, is that God doesn't see the way you see. The Lord doesn't see things the way that you see them. Now I want to expand this verse to help you understand it a little more. It says, the Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord looks at the heart. Now, for some of you, that's a very freeing thing today, that God just looks at my heart and I don't have to worry about all this exterior stuff. But for some of you, that makes you a little nervous because the Lord looks at your heart. You know what I'm talking about? Where was your heart last night? Where was your heart yesterday, this week? What did your heart display as you went to work this week, as you engaged with people? Because the Lord looks at your heart. But at the same time, as we spend all of our energy trying to deal with all this exterior stuff, some which we can control, much of which we cannot control, here's the hope that we have, that God doesn't judge us based upon all of this. He looks at our heart. He looks at our heart. And so today I want you to kind of think about that. But what you need to understand is that the heart is what God values. But we don't place value in those same ways. We assign value differently. We measure differently. We assign or measure value, first of all, by what a person has. You look at people, boy, well, I don't have that, and boy, they must be something special because of what that, look at that car, and look at that house, and look where they live, and look what they get to do, and look what they get to experience, right? I don't have any of that. And so we look at our lives as less than or empty. We assign or measure value by what a person does. What's the first thing you do when you meet somebody? So what do you do? So what do you do? Really? What do I do? That's who I am. That's my value. We also assign or measure value by what we don't have. Right? Well, I don't have that. So I must be less than. Why don't I? How did they get that? They don't seem to be any different than me. But why don't I have that? We assign or measure value by what we can't do. I can't do that. Boy, I wish I could do. I wish I could sing or play an instrument like those people. I can't do that. And we assign our value. Here's the problem. So many of you have gotten lost in who you're not. Instead of finding who you are. And celebrating that. And here's the hope. We assign value and measure that way. But God assigns or measures our value in what a person is. Because you see, your heart tells you who you are. It tells other people who you are, right? Look at somebody's heart. Don't assign who they are or who they're not based upon what they have or don't have or what they can do and what they can accomplish. No, but look at who they are, their character, who they are on the inside. That's what God does. God also assigns or measures value, but what we can be. How far can you go? See, we look and say, I can't. But God looks at you and says, you can. I made you to do that. You can do this. You go, boy. You've got this. He's the greatest cheerleader ever. Because what God wants you to understand is that your life is not half empty, not focused on what you don't have, but all the possibilities that exist in you, the potential in you. See, you've got to get your perspective. You've got to start seeing the way God sees. Take off your lenses. Put on God's lenses and see the potential that exists in you. Because you can be something great for Him. And aren't you glad that He has this incredible plan for your life, a potential, a goal, an opportunity for each and every one of you? Now, that passage of Scripture that we read earlier is from 1 Samuel. If you've got your Bibles, flip there, because I want you to look at it, 1 Samuel chapter 16, but I want you to see the context. This is one of those verses that we lift out. God looks upon the heart, and yay, God, we're good about that, right? But we don't understand the context of that verse. So I want to help you to understand how we can have a half-full perspective based on a really cool story in the Old Testament. Now, here's what's happening. There's this king. His name is Saul. Now, he's not the Saul that becomes Paul in the New Testament. That's another story for another day. This is King Saul, and he's the king of the Israelite people. And King Saul kind of gets himself in trouble because he gets full of himself. He gets very prideful. He gets very focused on who he is and what he's doing. And he disobeys God. And God just decides, you know what? I'm done. I'm taking my hands off you. See, Saul had been anointed by a prophet named Samuel. Samuel, kind of his nickname was the seer. He could just see things because God helped him to see. God gave him a perspective, a view, because he didn't look at life and people through his eyes. He looked at them through God's eyes. And God had used Samuel to anoint Saul as king. But then Saul was disobedient. And God said, I'm taking my hands off him. And he tells Samuel, Saul's no longer going to be anointed as king over Israel. Now, Samuel's a little nervous about that because Saul's the king, right? And he tells Samuel, I want you to go and anoint another king. And Samuel goes, no, that ain't happening, God. Saul will take me out. He'll kill me. This is not a good thing. And so God says, look, Sammy, I'll make it easier for you. Here's what I'm going to do. We're going to do a little bait and switch. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to go into the city, and you're going to go and take a heifer, a cow, and you're going to take that as a sacrifice. Now, sacrifices are the way that they connected to the Father in those days. The beauty of that is that Jesus became our sacrifice. We no longer have to go through that sacrificial process because Jesus became the fulfillment of all sacrifice when he died on the cross for all of us. But prior to Jesus walking on the earth with us, they had this sacrificial process that they went through. So he tells Samuel, take the heifer, go into town. When they ask you why you're coming in, all right, then just tell them I'm here for sacrifice. And so Samuel does that. He goes into the city. He's a little fearful. He's anxious, right? He's not really sure how this is going to play. He gets to the city and they say, hey, are you coming here with good intentions? Or are you trying to mess with things? Because, you see, they'd been in these battles and these wars, and so they were a little gun-shy, and they were very nervous. And Saul knew that he was kind of going against God. And here comes Samuel, the prophet. And so they come and say, what are your intentions, Samuel? Samuel said, I'm here to sacrifice. And so he comes into the city, and he meets with a man named Jesse. Jesse was a very powerful man. He was a man of great means. And so they meet with Jesse, and he says, I want you to bring your sons because I want to view them as possible kings over Israel. And so that's where we pick up the story, and we'll understand the context of how God looks upon the heart. It says, then Samuel performed the purification rite for Jesse and these sons, and he invited them to the sacrifice too. So he does do a sacrifice. He's not lying to the people when he comes in and says, I'm here to do a sacrifice. That's what he's going to do. But he's kind of piggybacking on that sacrifice to meet these sons, these potential kings. And so that's what he does. He invites these sons. He invites Jesse to come to the sacrifice. And it says, when they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab. Now, Eliab was the son of the sons. He was strong. He was tall. He was handsome. He had presence. He was one of those guys, ladies, when they walked in the room, you would go. Right? Kind of like when I walked out on stage a few minutes ago. Just kidding. All right. But he was a presence, right? And Samuel even looked at him and went, now that's a king. Right? He looks at him and he says, surely this is the Lord's anointed. We don't need to go any further. There's the king. But notice what happens. He says, but the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. What was wrong with Eliab? His heart. His heart. See, we look at people and go, oh my goodness, look at that person. They've got it together. They must be something special. There must be something extraordinary about them. And I can't measure up to that. I'm less than them. And our lives are half empty. And as a result, we don't understand that God's not looking at all that stuff. Be free from that today, guys. God is looking at the heart. The process goes on. Then Jesse told his son Aminadab to step forward and walk in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, this is not the one the Lord has chosen. See, Samuel's beginning to see with God's eyes. He's not looking at all these outward things. He's starting to see the way God sees. He said, it's not Abinadab. Next, Jesse summons Shimeah. But Samuel said, neither is this the one the Lord has chosen. Can you imagine these sons as it kind of gets worse and worse and worse? Like, you know, the first guy steps out. It's like, well, surely he's the king. No, he's not the king. And the next guy goes, well, hopefully I'm the king, you know. And then the next guy goes, well, I'm the king. And so this process keeps going. And they parade all these people. In the same way, all seven of Jesse's sons were presented to Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any of these. Now, I want you to notice something unique here. It says that Jesse brought all seven of his sons. But Samuel knew that there was another son. Samuel asked, are these all the sons you have, Jesse? This is it? And Jesse responded, they're still the youngest, he replied, but he's out in the fields watching the sheep and the goats. I got another son, but I didn't bother to bring him. You know, he's out with the sheep and the goats. He's a shepherd. He's not what you're looking for, Samuel. No way this guy's going to be king. And here's what Samuel says. send for him at once. Bring him to me, Samuel says. We will not sit down until he arrives. We're not going to continue this celebration until you go get this boy. Go get that boy. Bring him to me. So Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome with beautiful eyes. And the Lord said to Samuel, this is the one. Anoint him. See, God doesn't look at who you are or who you're not. He looks at your heart. He doesn't look the way we measure. He doesn't assign value the way that we measure value. He looks at your heart. And the scriptures say, so as David stood there among his brothers. David. You know who David was, right? Much of the Old Testament tells the story of David. And Jesus was born in the lineage of David. God saw so much more than Jesse saw in David, than his brothers saw in David. And God sees in you so much more than you could ever possibly see in yourself. Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And then notice something really cool happened. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. Listen to me. Listen carefully. David wasn't a king until God made him one. You will never be who you were meant to be until you let God make it happen. The power that made David the king, the king of all kings that we study, not the king of all kings in Jesus, but those earthly kings, that happened because God anointed him through Samuel. And all the power to be all that he needed to be was found in that moment. See, you and I need to start seeing our lives differently. See ourselves the way that God sees you. So I want to ask you a really important question today. Lean into this question in your own heart. How are you measuring your life today? How are you measuring it? What you have, what you don't have? Your job, your career, the place you live, the kind of car you drive, how many people know your name, how many likes you have on social media? That's how you measure your life. See, God doesn't measure your life. Arguably, the greatest evangelist in the history of the world is Billy Graham. I mean, spoken to more people about Christ than any single person. And he said that you and I, we've got some problems, but our problems are not the way we define them. He said, we don't have a race problem. We don't have a poverty problem. He said, we have a heart problem. He said this, our basic problem is a heart problem. We need to get the heart changed, the heart transformed. Have you allowed Jesus to transform your heart? Because that's what he's looking at. You can walk in here today or on any campus, and you can walk in and look like you've got it all together. You can tote a 10-pound Bible with you. You can drop all kinds of things in that bucket. You can hold doors. You can rock babies. You can be the big man on campus today. But God's not looking at any of that. He's looking at your heart. He's looking at your heart. So the question is, where is your heart? And the scriptures tell us in Jeremiah that the heart is hopelessly dark and deceitful, a puzzle that no one can figure out. In and of ourselves, our hearts are dark. In and of ourselves, our hearts will lie to you. Your heart will lie to you when you separate that heart from the power that exists in Christ. Scripture goes on, and it says this, but I, God, search the heart and examine the mind. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. It's a process. Once your heart gets right, then your mind is transformed. He says, I get to the heart of the human. I get to the root of things. I treat them as they really are, not as they pretend to be. What are you pretending to be today? Take the mask off. Let God get to the heart, to the root of all. Because you see, the heart is so important. Scriptures tell us in Proverbs 4, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Last week, Tyler brought out this hose. I was really worried for you guys on the front here. I was also worried about these electrical cords and thinking, you know, a fried Tyler might look pretty cool and neat. You know, I thought that'd be good PR. But he brought this, he talked to you about this perpetual source that's available to you. That's what he's talking about there. He said, guard your heart because out of it springs and flows and feeds who you are. You and I have to be careful to understand our hearts, to let our hearts be led by the right thing. See, you and I oftentimes miss it because we're not focused on the right. We don't have the right perspective, and so therefore we don't see the potential that exists for each and every one of us. But I want to show you a really important passage of Scripture as we wrap all this up. Scriptures tell us that if we're going to understand this half full understanding, that we have to do something. He says we have to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all this stuff that you think, that you spend so much time trying to manage and somehow kind of control and think that that's what's going to bring you value, all those things will be added to you. All those things are going to be added, but you got to get them in the right order. See, first thing he says is, I want you to seek first the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? It's God's plan for your life. It's God's ways. And here's the thing you need to know. God doesn't want to destroy your life. He just wants to give to you. But you got to get it in the right order. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. You know that we're the kingdom of God. His plan for our lives, the way He wants to use us, and all of that. God wants to partner with you and let you partner with Him, but you got to get it in the right order. Seek first the kingdom of God. And then He says, and all these things will be added to you. And there's this little bridge right in here. And He says, and His righteousness, doing the right things for your life. See, when you and I do that, we understand what it means to be full. Let me help you understand it. They've done a great job with this buckets and water and all that kind of stuff. Let me help. Emily's going to bring me out some tools, and we're going to kind of help you understand it from a little bit different perspective and as we wrap this thing up. Now we have this visual here. We've had it up here all during this series of a jar, a glass, thank you, Emily, that is half full. And we just want you to change your perspective a little bit. Start seeing yourselves. Now, many of you are saying, Tim, you know, I'm seeing myself that I have all these really neat things, but I still have a lot of things I want to do. And I think all of these things would be beneficial to my life. And so we start looking, how do I be a part of this? How do I feel myself? And so we start looking around and we think, there's so many things. Now, so we got this jar here. And it's full of sand. And the sand represents all the little minutiae in your life. All the little things. Here, there's some things for you. All these little things, right, that we think we need in our lives. It could be people. It could be experiences, trips, vacations. It could be toys that we like to buy. It could be likes on Facebook. It could be, you know, whatever we want. And we think we have to add those to us. And so we look at our lives and say, there's some space for all those things. And so we decide, you know what? I'm going to add these things to my life. And so we just add stuff. Got some stuff flying around. All right. And we add it all. And we just put it all into our lives. And we think, wow, this is good. Look how full I'm getting. Look at my life. It's so much. There's so much more for me. Right? And we add all these things. Let's get all the things in there. So we get all those things in our lives and we say, this is great. I'm going to make sure I get everything, all right? I want to get it all, right? But then we realize, wait a minute, there's still something missing. And maybe that's where you're sitting today. You got all these things, right? But you realize there's still a lot missing in my life. I'm missing something. Something bigger than me. And we think, maybe that's God. Maybe that bigger than all of these little things. Maybe that is God. And maybe I ought to check that out. Maybe I ought to check that God thing out. Because all of us have a God-shaped hole in our lives, don't we? And so we think, you know what? Tim, I'll be honest with you. I came here today seeking, looking, searching, because I know that I've got all these things, and there are millions of them. But I'm still a little empty. I just don't feel full. So we say, well, Tim, can you help me see how maybe I could have God? Now, see, God's bigger than all the little things that we've got here. These things pale in comparison to God. So we say, you know what? I think I need a little God. And so we start putting God in our lives. And somebody, whoops, we lost some God there. We start. Oh my goodness, Tim. I guess that's enough, God. I know God's got a lot more for me, but you know what? That's pretty good. I'll take that. And we miss out on all the possibilities that God has for our lives because we think, well, I'll be satisfied with that. Some of you just give me enough to fill up those spaces and I'll be full, Tim. I'm good. And we miss out on all that God has for our lives. See, our problem is we've got it backwards. Let me help you understand it a little better. All right? So let's get this out of the way, and let's do this thing in the right order. If we just take God and we put him first, okay? We take everything else out, and we say, God, you're going to be first. Here's the beauty of that. All those other things, if we just trust God, there's room for all those other things too. The problem is there wasn't room because we didn't get it in the right order. The Bible says to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else, everything will be added to us. See, the problem is we fear getting things in the right order because we think, well, there's not going to be room. Somehow God wants me to have less than. God doesn't want to take anything from your life. God just wants to be all in your life. And you say, yeah, but Tim, what about the water? What about the water? See, once we figure out getting it in the right order, we realize that not only is there room for all those things, but if we let God continue to saturate our lives, there's room for not only all that God is and all those things that we think are so important and value, there's room for the things that only God can bring, that wellspring of life, that hope. Now watch. God begins to saturate all of those things and who he is and what only he can bring. See, you can bring all these little things into your life, but only God can saturate them in who he is. And over time, we continue to trust him, and God continues to fill. Our hearts become that wellspring, that source that God has for us, and we watch him continue to be a part of all of our lives. And the cool thing is, all in this process, we still see God. He's everywhere. And here it's this. Not only are we seeing God, the world sees him. And it continues to make, oh, we got room. We can keep going. And God, see, he doesn't run out. He keeps going and going because that wellspring of potential, that wellstream of provision, that wellstream of who God is just continues to flow in our lives. And over time, it saturates all we are. And everything is transformed from the inside out. See, the Bible tells us to seek first the kingdom of God. Put him first, and everything else will be added. And you know what? Once you think you've added, I got more. I got more than you've even thought about. And I'll keep pouring into you, and it'll keep moving through your life and impacting you and the people around you. But you got to get it in the right order. Seek me first, and everything that you think is of value and all the things that you hadn't even thought about yet will be added to you. That's the God that we want you to know. That's the hope that we want you to know. That's the potential. That's that wellspring of life that just keeps oozing into us as we discover who he is. See, the Bible tells us that we seek first, and that's a perspective thing. So let me help you see it, all right? So we've got this perspective. And once we start seeing ourselves differently, perspective leads to potential. We start seeing the possibilities that exist. And once we start seeing the possibilities, that potential moves to the priorities changing in our lives. And then once we change the priorities, we discover the promises that God has for us, not to leave us, not to take anything away from us, but to just give us life, hope, future. And then here's the beauty of that. Perspective leads to potential. Potential leads to priority. Priorities lead to promises. And then here's the thing. And then it keeps going. Because then as we understand the promises of God, we start seeing Him flow through our lives. We want more of it. And it gives us a more potential and changes our perspective even more. And our priorities change even more. And we understand more of God's promises. And then we get really excited and we start telling people about it. And we share with other people, and they start seeing there's something different about you. There's something different about you. You seem so full. And then God says, you got it. You go, boy. I'm going to give you some more. There's more out there. Let's just keep going because it doesn't stop. Do you see that? And at the very core of all of it is the heart. Because it's the heart that drives it. You need to remember this big idea. Write this down and put it on your mirror, on your steering wheel. Put it where you can see it this week. God doesn't see things the way you see them. He doesn't see things. I love this conclusion. Luke says, give away your life. Give it away. I got more for you. Give away your life. You'll find life given back, but not merely given back, but given back with bonus and blessing. Here's the bonus. God says, I got more. We can keep going. See, you guys think that this is just not going to work. Oh, there's room. There's room, but you got to trust it and get it in the right order. I love this series, and I love how we've been, but you know what? We've been a little off for the last 4 weeks because in Christ, guys, you need to know this. You need to know this hope. In Christ, your life isn't half empty. It isn't half full. It's completely full in Jesus Christ. And that's the hope we want for you. And you say, Tim, there's just no way. There's just not. Oh, there's room. I promise you, there's room. But you got to put Jesus first. And when you do, everything changes. You're not half empty. You're not half full. You're full, full. Let's pray together. So as you bow your heads this morning, on all of our campuses, I want you to go to your heart. Where have you been putting your heart? Where have you been placing your value? In what you have? What you do, what you don't have, what you can't do? Are you putting your value in who God sees in you? And you may think, Tim, I'm chasing all of these things. So many of you are exhausted today because you've been chasing the things of the world and you're missing out on the possibilities that God has for your life. This morning, right now, right where you sit, I want to ask you on all of our campuses, I'm going to ask our campus pastors to stand up in front of their people right now. And I want to ask you a question, a really simple question. I want you to be honest. Remember, I ask you to lean in and find yourself. I want you to find yourself in this next minute. Lean in. Are you living a half-empty life because you've got everything in the wrong priorities, wrong position? You tried to add all this stuff that you control and manage, or are you putting Jesus first? Trusting that everything else will be added to you. I want you to be honest and just simply say to us, your staff, I need you to pray for me because I've got it wrong. I've got it backwards. I've been putting all the stuff first instead of Jesus. And I want you to pray for me. If you're one of those people who just said, Tim, I just want you to pray for me right now. Would you just lift your hand up on all our campuses? Just say, pray for me. I've got it wrong. Thank you. All over the room. Raise your hand. We see you. If you just raised your hand, I want you to look at me. Everybody else is not looking. You just look at me. Look at me. All you got to do is flip it. Seek first the kingdom of God, the plan He has for your life, how He sees you. And then everything else, I promise you, will be added. You just got to get in the right. That's it. God doesn't want to take anything away from you. He just wants to give to you. So if you're looking at me right now, or you're just listening because you're afraid to look, I want you to just simply give it to God. Just say, I realize I've got it out of order, and I want to put Jesus, your gift to me first, and I'm trusting that the promises will come if I just trust you with my life. I'm giving you my heart, Jesus. That's all you need to do. I'm going to pray for us, and then I want to encourage you to pray in your own heart, whatever words you choose, to get this thing in the right order. Let's pray together. God, I thank you that you sent Jesus, and I place him first in my life, trusting that everything else will be added. And then, God, not only everything that I can see is added, all that stuff that you want to pour into me over and over and over again will continue to be added. So, Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my heart. Make me who you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen.